Hi there, Jimmy. Jimmy Carter. I know you're listening, and this is the news, according to me. Well, you know, that was probably one of the worst Jimmy Carter impressions ever on the planet. Just wanted to make that clear. For those of you young kids out there who don't remember Jimmy Carter, I do, by the way. I remember exactly what was going on during the Carter administration. And I'm kind of surprised that nobody has made that correlation yet. Because, well, at least Jimmy could, you know, talk in a coherent sentence. There's some speculation around the world. I've been watching some of the news reports from some of the foreign commentators that are actually commentating and not just going along with the globalist agenda. The an interesting thing is that they're all beginning to say things about Joe, about how his decline, potentially, they understand that his decline will probably happen pretty quickly. In other words, he'll start to decline, and then typically the way this works is people plateau at a certain point on their way down as they're deteriorating, and then they make huge drops in their ability to be cognitive. And so there's, it seems, what I've noticed anyway, from the observations that I've made, I'm not a doctor, this is just observations in life, people that I know and people that I've been around. There are basically two ways that people decline in what I call Alzheimer's and dementia's type cognitive issues. One is there's a very slow decline, and they kind of have a day by day. Some days they have good days, some days they have bad days, but it just kind of gradually gets worse over time. And you know, they might go years, and you kind of notice a few things, and then it's like, okay, it's not quite right, but everything else is functioning fine. And then it goes another year, and it's like, oh, there's more often we see these events. And it just kind of slowly just progresses that way. It's a very slow progression. It doesn't really drop off anytime. You know, because everybody has good days and bad days. I have days I can't remember what I had for breakfast. I do remember this morning what I had for breakfast. I had pizza because I had this pizza. I'm down in Atlanta, Georgia, by the way, Jimmy Carter country. Maybe that's why I was thinking of Jimmy. Probably not. That's probably not what I was thinking of Jimmy. I don't think anybody thinks of Jimmy anymore. The little restaurant here. I got done about 10 o'clock last night, and by the time I got back to my hotel and I got everything kind of settled in, I was pretty hungry. But I've been staying up until like 2 in the morning now. I had an event last couple nights. Last night was 10 o'clock. And so I got back to the hotel and I was kind of hungry. I was like, I don't really want to go out walking around. Because I know this area is kind of notorious for bad things happening after dark in this area. So I ended up going to the phone, and I called in for a delivery. I ordered this pizza from a little place called, I think it's called Little Villages. Little Villas, maybe? Let me see if I can. Yep, Little Villas. Yep, Little Villas Pizza. That's what it's called. And it was recommended by somebody, and so I tried it out, and at their little menu. I don't think the prices are correct on the menu that I had, because it was a little bit more than that, but maybe delivery costs more. I mean, there was a delivery charge I didn't see on there. I got these small Chicago-style. They have mostly New York-style pizza, but they also have Chicago-style, but it costs more. And I got just a sausage pizza. I got maybe with pepperoni and sausage. It's just sausage. I can't remember. I think it was just sausage. There's pepperoni on there too. So it's pepperoni and sausage. So it's a deep dish, Chicago style. That way you get plenty of cheese. I was going to ask for extra cheese, but that's you don't need that on deep dish. Well, I mean, you could. I mean, I could have, because it's just cheese. Cheese is always good. Let's put on cheese. I put cheese on my cheese. I'll get fettuccine Alfredo, and I still haven't put cheese on it. And I usually don't tell them to stop until they run out of that little bar thing that they're cranking on. And then I tell them to go back and get some more. So I had plenty of cheese on there, and I ordered this thing. It was about 10:30. I said it'd be a half hour or so, 25 to 30 minutes. So about an hour later, I was just about ready to go back to my room and just give it up, because I was getting more tired than hungry at that point. Apparently there was a delay of some sort. And I was just thinking about it, just kind of sitting there in the lobby, waiting. And I ended up kind of just sitting there, decided to wait a little longer. I wasn't going to call him. And I got a call from Gainesville, Georgia. Wasn't sure what that was about. And so I didn't answer it. They didn't leave a message. And I, about 2 minutes later, guy comes walking in with pizza. And he said he called, but didn't answer. I'm assuming he's from Gainesville, Georgia. That's why the phone is from there, because I'm in Atlanta. So I wasn't sure if it was just a spam call or what it was. Of course, at that hour of the night, probably not going to be a spam call, but you never know. So I didn't answer it. And so I got my pizza. I have to say, even though I had to wait, extra half an hour for it, it was worth the wait. It's pretty good pizza. I was. It's kind of strange because it was such a heavy, thick pizza, and I was thinking it was so small, but it was just there was a lot of pizza there, and I was thinking, I'm not going to be able to eat much of this. I'm going to probably eat one or two pieces of this, and I'm going to be full. And it actually it doesn't have a real heavy. I think because the crust is done right. When pizza is done right, it has more of a lighter texture to it, and it's just good. So this was I ate, I think, three pieces of this thing, and I wasn't stuffed. I didn't feel like I was overstuffed, and it was really good, just very good. Not too greasy, not too it was just really good stuff. And so I still have about half of it left. So I had a piece of it for breakfast, and I'll probably have a piece for lunch. I'll probably eat a piece before I go home today on the plane. Or I might just take it home with me. I don't know. I might eat somewhere else. And we'll see what happens today. I am going home today, if that's the plan. Anyway, get home late tonight. Direct flight from Atlanta back to South Bend tonight. In the meantime, speaking of Jimmy Carter, we have, for those of you who remember what the Jimmy Carter administration was like, we had a military that was, this administration, by the way, is like the Jimmy Carter administration on steroids. Or anti-steroids, or whatever you want to call it. We have a military that is, in the world, I think, being seen as being inept and weak and woke. We have an economic situation that is rapidly, rapidly deteriorating. We have a labor force that's willing to work, but not under these mandates. We have a labor force that's willing to work, but as long as you're paying them to stay home, they're not going to work. We have businesses that have plenty of work to do, but can't put workers in place to do the work because nobody's coming to work. Our country is primarily a service industry country. We do still produce things, but not on the scale that we used to. We're not a production manufacturing country. I think Trump had us kind of on the path to becoming a production country again, reproducing things here in the U.S. One of the ways we're going to do that is through automation. It's not going to be just labor, everybody out pushing rivets into a piece of metal. The automation that we have now is fascinating, and I think that we could rise up as a major manufacturing country because automated manufacturing is available even just in a small shop. I mean, I've got this little man cave shop thing that I've got. I've got a plasma torch cutter table. I have a laser cutter engraver. I have a mill that cuts primarily for wood. I have a vertical mill, bench mill, that is a metal mill, and I've got it set up for CNC as well. I also have a lathe that I've converted to CNC, metal lathe. I have a wood lathe too, but that's not CNC. I have a 3D printer. And I have, what else do I have? Do I have something else came over this? I think that's about it. Isn't that enough? Oh, I've got a vinyl sign cutter or vinyl letter cutter, that kind of thing. It's not really on the scale of everything else, but that is one of those. Actually, I have two of those, a small one and a larger. So I've got all this stuff, and what's amazing to me is that one day I was out there working, and I had all this stuff running, and I was basically just going from one machine to the next. You know, I'd set up the 3D printer. The 3D printer takes quite a while, usually, to put, if it's any sizable part at all. Takes it a little while to do stuff. So I had it running. It was printing some parts. I had the mill running. I was making parts with that. I was cutting out wood parts with that. I had the laser engraver working to laser engrave and cut out parts. And I had the only thing I didn't have running was a plasma table. I usually like to be there right there just operating that thing when it's operating. I don't do anything like really big sheet metal. It's only about 4x4, 4 foot by 4 foot table, so I don't do a whole lot with that. So in the sense, I was doing all this automated stuff, and I was basically just walking around changing out parts and tooling. And, flipping in more material in each place. And I'm walking around thinking, you know what, this is, not only is it producing stuff fairly rapidly and repeatably and highly accurate stuff, if I had to do any one of those parts by hand, it would take me, three or four times longer and probably be less accurate in some ways. And I'm sure I could get it accurate enough if I spent another hour working on it. But the I'm looking around thinking if I would have to have, five or six employees in here doing what I'm doing right now. And the sad part about it is I wouldn't be able to afford to have them all week, because I just had this one day where I was really busy. So I couldn't have employees hanging around all week just to do a job, one day where I had this, one or two days where I had this, stuff to do. This is a while back. This has been a little while back. And so it's one of those things where if you were going to do small, limited quantity manufacturing, we're in that stage. I mean, and I don't even have like anything, if somebody wants to actually invest in real tooling equipment and real, like a real CNC machine and, spend the, $80,000 or whatever you got to spend to get at least a decent one that's an industrial type machine, a used one, I'm talking used stuff now, but that, or buying a new one, leasing all the equipment to do it. You can have a very small, as far as manpower shop, you can have, as long as you have the technical skills, you can develop a manufacturing plant in a very small building and even run it lights out. I mean, you could actually shut the lights out, go home and have all the machines running, making stuff 24/7, just like you have three shifts going. And all you're doing is, changing out stock and retooling. So this is it's a fascinating time we live in. And the era of just big manufacturing is not necessarily doesn't have to happen that way right now. We can you can have a small manufacturing shop and accomplish quite a bit. And that's why, of course, ironically, most of this automated machinery is made in China. It's kind of like they're giving us the tools and equipment we need. We're getting it made cheaply over there so we can make it here. We can make stuff over here. And I think we were kind of headed back on that road under Trump. I think he kind of saw that vision of being able to bring back production in this country without having to have menial labor force. In other words, it's in China, you've got people scrounging all day long, putting a rivet in a piece of metal. They're still doing that. They have a lot of automation there too, but you got a billion people over there, and they're the manpower is cheap, labor's cheap. People keep it that way because it's a communist country. They have to have cheap labor because that way they can just throw, instead of having just one person doing something working on a machine that costs $80,000, they'll just take 80 people and tell them to do the job. And if, you know, if you lose one, you lose one, as they're expendable because it's all for the common good, right? Yeah, that's the way that works when you get into a collective mentality, collective societal mentality, which we are rapidly, rapidly approaching in this country. The idea of rugged individualism has been mocked and ridiculed by a former president, even though that is the tradition of this country. That is the exceptional situation we have in this country, is that of individual liberty and independence. And that your individual liberty and independence doesn't encroach on anyone else's, because that then becomes a violation. So, I just heard a little noise, which means I have a I just got an email that doesn't pertain to me. So the thing I see happening here in the country right now is it's frightening and alarming, because we are just on the edge of seeing a free fall in our economic situation. Like I said, this is a perfect storm happening. And I'm not saying these things to scare you. I'm saying these things to prepare you. So be prepared as to what's coming. If you have any ability to stock up on food, or if you can put some money into some places where it's going to be fairly secure. This is the most ironic thing about this is that money is not really going to be, even if you have cash, it's not going to be that secure. You can put $100,000 away. If what we have happen here is what has happened in other countries, that $100,000 will probably buy you a loaf of bread at the end of the week. It's a crazy time. I have invested in a little bit of silver, very little. I don't have much money in silver. There are other things you can put your money into. I don't know what's going to happen to 401ks. And if you have your money in a 401k, it's in the market. You're in the market. With regard to the stock market, there's under the Carter administration, I'll give you some idea. We had shortages. It was part, you know, everybody talks about the energy shortage that we had back then, the gas shortage that we had, because they were telling us, oh, fossil fuels are running. We're running out of fossil fuels. Not going to be any more fossil fuels. The ride's over. We're seeing gas prices go from 25 cents a gallon to, you know, over 50 cents a gallon, up to a dollar a gallon. Everybody thought this is the end of the world. And back then, that was really high. It was devastating to the recreational market, the RV market, boats, trailers, campers, even just driving. Everybody was driving little bitty gas-sipping cars. They were dangerous as all get out. Fell apart. Tires are as big as a plate. Little bitty things like that. So we have all that going on. We had gas prices going up. And that's what people remember. However, for those of us who lived through that, who have a memory, apparently, it's amazing how short the memory of most people is of our society. I'm not saying that they can't remember. I'm just saying they don't want to remember, apparently. I don't know. Unfortunately, it sticks in my head. I remember the sugar shortage that we had. And it was because of politics that the sugar issue, and this happened mainly in Hawaii was a huge sufferer of the policies under Carter, which ironically now Hawaii is an extremely left organization or a state, extremely left wing state. And they blame mainlanders for the government for what happened to them and the way they destroyed the sugarcane crop and of course the pineapple crop and that kind of stuff that's out there. Those were two different events, but that's the sugar shortage happened because of government interaction, government manipulation. Sugar prices shot up, and the price of a candy bar doubled, and I think it even tripled at one point. And the price of a candy bar today is higher. However, that's been over the past 30, 40 years, rather than just over a course of a year, prices going up. There was a coffee shortage. Coffee prices went up. There was a milk shortage, of all things, and a meat shortage. And this was all planned. This was all part of the scheme. You have to understand, they wanted these shortages to happen because they wanted to make it seem as if, and the globalists were around back then too, and they were all concerned about overpopulation. Overpopulation was a term that back then they didn't talk as much about. Well, they were talking about global cooling because our pollution was causing global cooling. We're going to be back in another ice age by now because of the pollution that was happening back in the 70s. And I still remember some of the commercials I used to see. They were talking about soot being on the window and all this. We're going to be another ice age, and temperatures are dropping, and their winters are getting worse. And of course, now it's the other way around, because I don't know if they realize that there are cycles to the weather patterns, the things that cause the polar ice caps to melt back. You know, supposedly these polar ice caps. All this melting and thawing, and they'll talk about there was a time when the woolly mammoth was here, but then they were frozen. They came, you know, it's because the climate changed and got colder. Oh, so it was warmer, and then it got colder, and now it's permafrost. It's been that way for hundreds of thousands of years. But these woolly mammoths are like 80,000 years old, supposedly 80,000 years old. They just don't know. All this rhetoric that they throw out there. That happened 423 billion years ago. Oh, not 422 billion years ago. That happened 423 billion years ago because there's a little timestamp, there's a date on it, apparently. Yeah. Not 442,545 years ago. It happened 442,000 years ago. Right on the money. They just throw these numbers out there, much like I do. You realize that 82.7%, you might want to write this number down, but it's pretty important. 82.7% of all statistics are made up on the spot. The meat shortages, the sugar shortages, milk shortages, corn was an issue. And this is back just back when in a time when we're starting to put high fructose corn syrup, whatever it is, just starting to use that stuff in all the food out there. And then this actually came about. In fact, I think there was some manipulation of the market for this purpose. I think there were some lobbyists that got this going. The whole corn industry thing changed at that point because some of the land set aside stuff and all that was going on. It seemed that Monsanto came out on top of that whole deal. And I wouldn't be surprised if they either had the foresight to see what was happening, which I doubt, or they had lobbyists that were pushing for these chess game maneuvers that put them in this position, which I would more likely think that's probably what happened. So, again, government creates a crisis that they have the solution for. They're going to come in and save the day from this crisis that they created. Right now, we're seeing that on a global scale, and we're seeing it on a major scale here in this country. They are allowing or creating a crisis. We have shortages of supplies that are sitting out in the ocean right now, anchored in ships that they can't get in because they don't have the trucks to drive because people aren't. This whole supply chain. I said this when I started talking about shutting down the sectors, certain sectors of the economy because they weren't essential. I had this conversation with several people in several different situations. And I continued to say, and I reiterate that the supply chain is much more fragile than we realize. What we do today to pull something out of the sector of the supply chain can have grave effects years down the road, and that's what we're seeing right now. It hasn't even been years; it's just been about a year since we were shutting things down, a little over a year, I guess, and we're now seeing what can happen especially if you don't bring things back properly, or if you pay people if they just wouldn't have paid people to stay home indiscriminately, If we would have paid the people we told to stay home, we'd have paid them more. You know, you would have had to qualify for this extra $600 a week or whatever they were paying people to stay home. That was just ridiculous. I'm okay with, you know, if the government steps in and says, now you can't work, you have to stay home, or making you stay home, yeah, then we better be paying them for that. We better be compensating them for that. If people are still working, in fact, some sectors of work actually got more work during COVID. They were actually busier during COVID. And yet they still got paid more for staying home. Didn't matter. You know, just some people took. It's just indiscriminately sending out checks to people who were still working. Oh, yeah. But more importantly, I haven't even talked about this yet. This is probably the thing that everybody's, I'm sure you're all sitting there on your seat, probably can't even focus and concentrate on what I'm talking about because you're wondering what's in my cup. This morning I have McDonald's sweet tea. I went ahead and ordered a McDonald's sweet tea today. Actually, I got two of them. I got one with ice and one without. Got it to go and left. That way I have backup because I always get down to the bottom of this cup and I still have ice left. And I realized that, you know, I probably only got about half the tea in that cup that I had. So I got a whole cup of tea, large, by the way, that's filled to the brim. And now I'll have ice left in this one that I can put in the other one. And I'll just, or I can put, you know, pour the tea into this one or whatever. However I want to do that. I'd probably put it in my thermos. I have a thermos. I'll probably put it all in there. And go about my day with plenty of sweet tea all throughout the day. Pretty good tea. Down here, they do know how to make tea down here in Atlanta. I have to say, even the McDonald's tea is good. I went to went someplace else and got some pretty good tea. About every place down here has good sweet tea. I've noticed. They know how to make it. They take it seriously down here. They clean the tea making apparatus on a regular basis. They brew it properly and they put the sugar in at the right time so it caramelizes properly as well. There's a science to it, folks. You got to do it right. Or you just might as well not even do it. And they do it right down here. So I'm trying to watch what's going on here on TV. There's a story about a guy that the world has just gone crazy. It's just gone nuts. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. Black is white. White is black. Up is down. Right is sideways. Being in this guy's position, if I would have been put in this guy's position, I probably wouldn't have gone nuts at a school board meeting. Apparently, his daughter was assaulted in the in school, and the board is trying to cover it up. I wouldn't bother making a spectacle or throwing a tizzy fit at a board meeting. That's not the way that would play out for me. But I'm not going to even talk about it because it was just, let's just say that there would be justice. Next subject. Carter administration was inept. It was just a mess. But it was, you know, it was a livable time. Everybody made it through. It was kind of a, you know, there wasn't the social media, all the other upheavals that we see right now. It was an economic issue at the time. We didn't see all the other stuff going on at the same time. And as I've said many times, we are approaching a perfect storm. We have all these things societally, socially. We have economically a situation that's very critical. Supply chains, finances, money, banking, housing. It's going to make the Carter years look like that was just a piece of cake, which it actually already started starting to look that way. You know, gas prices shooting up. We're going to have, I believe, some more upheaval than we've seen in the past. So it's we're approaching quickly approaching a situation where this administration, of course, on top of this, we have the border is just they're just pouring across the border, folks. They're just pouring across. We're not vetting anybody. They're just releasing them now. I just heard a report this morning that there's apparently some leaked documents that say a whole bunch of people, like tens of thousands, were released without any documentation whatsoever. Tens of thousands of people coming across the border every month. They're talking about if we continue on this path by the end of the year, it will be about within 12 months of the administration, as we understand it, is we will have about 2 million people that have come across the border. 2 million people. That's an invasion, okay? That's ridiculous. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to be having some, because tomorrow and Friday, I actually have some time to put together some things for the show. One of the things I'm going to put together is Merrick Garland, some of his comments when he was being questioned in a hearing, a congressional hearing, and the way the man talks, what was being said and everything that was going on there. I'm going to put together some things about that. And I also want to be very clear about that. At some point, I'm going to talk about this whole thing with what's going on with the LGBTQ plus LMNOP thing going on with some of that stuff. I typically try to stay away from that just because it's just one of those social issues that it's not just about what people want to do on their own now. It's what they want to shove in your face and put agendize and they want to convert people to do. It's not just acceptance anymore. It's promotion of certain things. So, and of course they're going after kids. It's about the children. So you might see some changes in the show here in the next month or so. I'm going to try to get back to the format that I had before. Life will hopefully kind of get back to normal a little bit more. I'll have some other things going on. This next week is going to be intense for me. I've got some heavy-duty things happening next week, starting on Wednesday. And I have to immerse myself in some studies and kind of get myself through some testing and training stuff that I've got to do for about almost 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks basically, up until the end of November. And then I'll be kind of back to normal a little bit. I'll be busy. I'll be extremely busy. All this stuff's going to add up to what I have to do in my job. And of course, depending on what the company decides to do, the company I'm doing this work for decides to do with the COVID situation, which is another thing on top of everything else that's going on economically that Carter didn't have in during his administration, mandates for this and that. It's what's happening with Southwest Airlines. Well, obviously now they're finally coming out and saying, yeah, there's apparently workers that aren't showing up. There's more predictions. I guess August, I just saw an article, and I think I still have this pulled up. Let me see if I can see this. More than 4.3 million American workers quit their jobs in August, which is a new record. It is estimated that part of that is because of the mandates, the vaccine mandates. August was when I think there was talk of mandates coming out, and that's when people were starting to do that. There are some industries that have a really high rate of vaccination, and I talked about this. I read this article by Horowitz. If you get a chance to read it, I'm going to mention what it is again. Daniel Horowitz, I think he works for The Blaze, but it was his article that they posted. It's an op-ed, I guess. That's what they call op-ed in the business. You can find it. The title of it is "The Data Is In, and We Are Now Worse Off Than Before Experimental Shots." He obviously has some bias about the, which is, I mean, bias is not necessarily good or bad. It's just he obviously is slanted towards the idea of this vaccine not being a good vaccine. I just want to be clear. My opinion is of this vaccine that it's a failure. But we are still treating it as if it was supposed to be the end all to the virus. And here's the problem. The vaccine, and it's more and more studies every day are showing that if you have the vaccine, you potentially have just as much viral load, and potentially more, actually, viral load with the vaccine, that you're carrying the vaccine. They're carrying the virus, even though you're vaccinated. You also can spread the virus, even if you've been vaccinated. And there was finally a guy on last night who was a doctor. He was being interviewed, and he was making it very clear. He said the fact is that you may even be less likely to have symptoms because you've had the vaccine, but carrying the virus. And this means you are in a sense you are just like a super spreader. We have created super spreaders. Which they were considered a non-symptomatic carrier of the virus prior to the vaccine was considered a dangerous person. And now, with the vaccine, we're finding that it covers these symptoms. You may not even have any symptoms and have the same viral load as someone who's home sick with a thermometer in their mouth, as this guy put it. So there's some serious ramifications to this. Yeah, maybe reduce your symptoms, but now you've got it and you don't know it. Or people around you don't know you got it. And you think you're immune because you're vaccinated, and you're not immune. You can still get it. You can still carry it. You can still spread it. This is not what we assumed the vaccine was going to be. When people think, and I still hear, circle back, Psaki keeps talking about how, well, vaccines have been mandated for a long time. They've been, can't go to school for polio and rubella and all these other things. Well, that's because those are vaccines. I haven't heard of anybody who has a polio vaccine who's gotten polio. Or, when was the last time your neighbor got rubella? And by the way, those mandates were not federal law mandates. They were state and local mandates based on, and they still had, most school districts have exemptions for religious purposes and that kind of thing. You don't have to be vaccinated if you have not all public schools and all districts have vaccine mandates. The Amish, for example, have their schools and they don't have any kind of vaccination protocol. Have their own schools, private schools. They don't. This is at the point where vaccination is you get it or you're somehow some deadly creature that they're going to. If you don't wear your mask, this high school kid, or I think it was a high school kid or college kid, who didn't wear their mask and got arrested. They shut the whole school down, locked everybody down because we had somebody on the premises that's refusing to wear a mask. Who cares whether or not she's sick or not, has any symptoms? Let's test her, see if she's got COVID. Now, if she's got COVID and she's not wearing a mask, that's okay. You get something to kind of say, you need to get out of here. You need to get off the property. But just to, to arrest her, put her in cuffs and walk her off and lock down the school as if somebody with Ebola is on the property. I mean, yeah, really? So where we're at with this thing. That's called hysteria, folks. That's hysterical reaction to something. It's obviously over the top. But that's the hysteria we have. And this non-vax thing is the same way. And I think we still have this mentality that we're basing this idea that somehow the vaccine is working. And I think that's where the problem is. That's where the whole problem lies here, is that we're treating this as if the vaccine, you know, we were expecting the vaccine to be actually a vaccine and it was supposed to actually be working. Well, it's not. It's a failure in terms of what we expected from it. When you talk to somebody and say, well, vaccinated people can still get it, so carry it. They're like, well, I'm not so sure about that. Or if they are sure about that, well, yeah, but you won't get this, but the symptoms aren't as bad. You won't. Okay. Is that what you were expecting from this vaccine? Is that really what you thought was going to happen here? When we started talking about vaccinations, everybody thought, oh, this is the way out. We got to get vaccinated because that's going to stop this thing. It doesn't stop it. And heaven forbid, Dr. Robert Malone is correct, which I'm afraid, statistically, looking at all the numbers right now, it looks like we are headed down a road where this thing is actually going to be worse than just what we thought. There's also a doctor who recently was talking to, and she's been banned, basically. I think she might have lost her job because she came out and she was talking about, she was very concerned. Backed off. I think I can't remember what all happened to her, but she had written a letter to medical, the FDA, and I think the CDC about the alarming concern she has. And she's vaccinated, but she has a concern. It's alarming, a number of apparently injuries from this vaccine. They're not being reported. Adverse effects are not being reported to this thing. And there are some doctors that are coming out with some outlandish numbers and what they estimate is happening. I don't know. I think that some of that speculation is way off the charts, but they may be right because the media would never cover it if they were. Because it's just so, you know, outrageously crazy that you just have to be vaccinated or you're going to be, you know, everybody's going to die if you're not vaccinated. And I'm concerned about what's going to happen to those who are. It's, you know, the booster. So now if you don't get a booster, are you not vaccinated now? Because, well, I've been vaccinated, but I haven't had the booster. Well, then your vaccination passport is invalid. You continue to mandate this stuff. Mandates are going to keep coming. And I'm afraid that we are on the right track. So, once again, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing, sharing this, liking it, listening again. Have a great day, everybody. I'll be back on here tomorrow morning. Another bright and cheery show. So God bless, everybody. Take care. Have a great night.